Stoveleg Media, igniting conversation.
Welcome to True Crime to Go. What can I get for you?
Yeah, do you have anything about like a college student who gets a job as an informant and it goes terribly wrong?
Pull up to the second window and we'll see you next crime.
Welcome to True Crime to Go. I am John without Jamie again. I tell you what, guys, Kentucky weather, very unpredictable. And with the unpredictability of the weather comes just a slew of colds, flus, all that fun stuff. I'm not feeling excellent, but Jamie is still feeling the crud. So I'm here without him today, but don't be alarmed. I still have a crazy case. And so today we're going to be diving into the heartbreaking case that sparked national outrage and also led to sweeping legal reforms. So today we are going to be telling the story, or I'm going to be telling the story of Rachel Hoffman, who was a 23-year-old Florida State University graduate whose life was cut tragically short during a botched undercover drug sting that turned deadly. So Rachel was full of potential and dreams when she became entangled in law enforcement in a way that no one saw coming. So let's get into who she was. Rachel Morningstar Hoffman was a bright young woman who had recently graduated from Florida State University. She was known for her infectious personality, her love for music, and her strong friendships. But like a lot of college students, she would dabble here and there with recreational drug use. In 2008, she was arrested on charges of drug possession. She was actually caught with a decent amount of marijuana and a few pills of ecstasy, so she was facing serious charges. But she was given an ultimatum by the Tallahassee Police Department. They told her that she could work as a confidential informant or she could face the legal consequences of her crimes. So it was a choice that really no young person should have to make, especially alone. The Tallahassee Police Department saw Rachel as an easy recruit. She was someone with no prior experience in criminal activity, but she did have connections in the local drug scene. What they failed to consider was just how unprepared she would be for the dangerous world that she was about to enter. So on May 7th, 2008, Rachel met with her handler, that was investigator Ryan Pender, and she was given $1,000 in cash. Actually, I'm sorry, she was given $13,000 in cash, and that was supposed to buy cocaine, ecstasy, and a gun from two suspected dealers. And despite her lack of training, law enforcement sent her alone into what would become the biggest drug bust in the department's history. Again, this is a recent graduate of college, so we're talking about someone who's in their early 20s, and she is to meet with drug dealers that are going to sell her a large amount of drugs and a weapon. This had to be very, very intimidating for this young lady. The operation in total had 18 officers assigned to it. But from the moment that Rachel set off, that's when things would go wrong. The suspects ended up changing the meeting location, and instead of following protocol and backing out, Rachel ended up going along with them, and that decision would definitely prove to be fatal. As soon as Rachel veered off the course, her handler lost sight of her. The operation then spiraled out of control, and within minutes, Rachel was gone. Instead of conducting the drug deal in the designated parking lot, the suspects led Rachel to a remote location on Gardner Road, and there she was shot multiple times, thrown in a culvert, and left for dead. It took law enforcement 36 hours to find Rachel's body. Like I said, she had been dumped in a culvert off a dirt road in Taylor County, and she was murdered. It was awful. Her parents, as you can imagine, were devastated. Her father's name was Irv, and he immediately blamed the police. He now, every year on the anniversary of her death, she actually calls investigator Pender, who was her handler, and he never answers, but her dad, Irv, leaves a voicemail for him every single year, and he has never got a call back. Months after the failed operation, a Leon County grand jury found the Tallahassee Police Department to be negligent in Rachel's death. The damage was already done, and her family would never get to see her again, but it was a glimpse of justice. Rachel's murder wasn't just a personal tragedy. It was actually a failure of law enforcement practices that had to change. So her parents, even in the midst of pain and suffering, were not going to lay down and let this happen to someone else. So they fought relentlessly to get some things changed and to ensure that another young person wouldn't be placed in such a dangerous situation. So their efforts led to the passage of a law called Rachel's Law. It was passed in 2009, and this was the first legislation in the United States designed to protect confidential informants. Rachel's Law requires law departments and police departments to inform informants that their undercover work could not guarantee reduced charges, and it also ensured that they have the right to seek legal counsel before they agree to cooperate. Additionally, the law mandated law enforcement agencies to create policies regarding the recruitment and handling of informants, and this includes restriction on using minors and individuals with substance abuse histories. Rachel's Law is not just in Florida. It's been used as a national model, and states across the country have began to set into practice some laws that mirror Rachel's Law. After her murder, two men were arrested and charged with her death, and they were both convicted, and they are both serving life sentences. Her parents also pursued legal action against the city of Tallahassee, and in 2012, they won $2.6 million in a settlement in a wrongful death lawsuit that they filed against the city. Rachel's parents, there's no amount of money that could ever make them recover from such a tragic loss. I'm sure that they would much rather have their daughter back, but I'm glad that the city did offer to settle with them in that amount. But yeah, this one was interesting. I've never really thought much about confidential informants, but to put such a young woman in such a, I don't know, it's such a weird thing for a first-time confidential informant to do. $13,000 to buy a large amount of cocaine and a handgun. She would never probably be in that situation. She was using recreational drugs, so she did have to acquire it from somewhere. But it seems like this was probably not the people that she was dealing with all along. And they were able to smell that something wasn't right. And that's ultimately what led to her gruesome murder. So guys, thank you again for tuning in each and every week to True Crime To Go. I hope that Jamie will be here with me next week. And if you all don't care, just say a little prayer for him that he feels better. And that hopefully I feel better too. I'm feeling all right, but man, I could be better. Guys, we appreciate you. Don't forget to leave a rating and a review. And until next crime, would you like crime with that?
You've listened to True Crime Cast, distributed by Stoveleg Media. Check out Stoveleg.com to find out more about your hosts and to find other podcasts to listen to. Stoveleg Media, igniting conversation.